News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, seagulls are being forced into our towns by the loss of their own natural spaces, and we need to learn to live alongside them, say scientists. And wildlife expert and author of the children's book Wonders of the Wild, Aina Nilauna, joins us. Aina, are you... I don't know why I'm asking, because I bet you're fond of seagulls, are you?
Well, no, I wouldn't be wanting to keep one as a pet, though, for example. But, I mean, to say to me, which is your favourite, is like asking some mother, which is their favourite child. They all deserve to exist, you understand.
Yeah, but they are disliked by us humans, aren't they? I mean, they open our litter, they attack our bins, they rob our fish and chips when we're on the pier. They feel more like foe than friend.
Well, that's only because we have made them like that. What do we expect? I mean, normally what we do, we have since the 1970s, we have destroyed so much biodiversity in Ireland. We have half the amount of wildlife now that we had in the 1970s when I was growing up. And we have done that by destroying where they live, by getting rid of their food sources. And in the most part, this poor wildlife have folded up their tents and gone away and become extinct. We've hardly any curlews left. We've hardly any corncrakes left. And that's the usual story. However, the seagulls, who are very smart, are fighting back. If we have destroyed their habitat, well then, by gum, they're coming into where we live to look for food. So, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, I think it's great that they have actually adapted, because it's their own fault. I mean, they come in and they rip open our bags. So why are our bags left open out in the street in the first instance in plastic that they can open? Why are some eejits, and they are eejits, feeding seagulls with fish and chips one day because they don't want to eat the half of them, and then the next day is when the seagull comes along, and when you don't give them the chips quick enough, it wants to take them from you. I mean, all of this behaviour that we don't like, it's caused by us, so we just suck it up.
They are kind of scavengers in nature. I don't mean this in an insulting way particularly, but they kind of remind me of rats. They've adapted to what is available to them.
That's right, yeah. But sure, we need to have scavengers, or else the place would be full of dead things on the road and leaves wouldn't break down and you'd be up to your oxters and guts and everything else. I mean, scavengers are part of the food chain. You have to appreciate that. Yeah.
If they get out of hand, and there are people who think they have gotten out of hand in certain areas like Howth or other areas of Dublin, that is a cull what we should do? Because I know what you're saying, that we should suck it up. But like, if they're a nuisance to us, there is a question of, well, why should we suck it up?
Well, we have to stop making them. I mean, why are they coming in here and what are they doing? And in some places, they're nesting on roofs. And then what happens is, you know, they're screeching and roaring at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that isn't very good if you're trying to sleep and you've been awake half the night with the baby and now you've finally got to sleep and then the seagulls start. So, I mean, people then have made modifications to their roofs so that they won't nest on their roofs. And, I mean, that's fair enough. You can put things on your roof to keep them away, and I've seen that happen in places. So that could be one way of doing it. And you could be death down on feeding them and having food available for them in your town by making sure that there's nothing else on the streets for them to eat. Now, that would be a council of perfection. But, I mean, it's us that make the mess. So why can't we decide, instead of shooting the seagulls, try and stop having it, making it worth their while coming to our streets or our town, because there's nothing there for them.
Are you suggesting we would put food out for them so that they wouldn't attack bins or they wouldn't attack the rest of us?
No, I'm not suggesting anything of the sort. If we have no food out for them, well, then they'll go somewhere else. So, I mean, if you start putting food out for them, you're completely bonkers. I mean, you know,
so that would make it worse.
Food for rats so they won't come into our houses. Of course it would make it worse. That's nuts. What you want to do is make nowhere for them to be able to breed because the roofs aren't suitable and have no food out for them so they can't eat. Well, then they'll go to somebody else's town. They won't be going to your town because your town is no good. But it means humans have to change their behaviour. And humans love to make litter and they love to throw things out the window and they love to throw away the ends of their chips. And they love to do all that sort of thing.
Becoming kind of increasingly, though, bold, emboldened or aggressive. My eldest was, I don't even know where he was because he wasn't near here, but I think he was in Dunleary or somewhere, and he was eating outdoors. He was eating, I think, a bag of chips, and a bird swooped down to grab the chips, and he didn't offer them up easily. And the seagull bit him on the hand. We had to bring him for a tetanus. He actually bit his hand open. It was cut quite badly.
That's awful. That's terrible. I have great sympathy.
No, it is. But the point is,
awful,
is they're quite big. Some of them, they're a bit like the size of a small dog. The big ones, and they are they can be aggressive.
Yeah, there's the great blackbacks are bigger than ducks. You know, I mean, they're not just like little birds. They're huge, indeed, they're protected under the Wildlife Act, so on a worldwide scale, they're actually very rare. But I mean, they seem to be. That's not the case if you happen to live in Skerries or Hope or somewhere where they are. But in those cases, and they've done it, I think, for Balbriggan, you can get a bylaw to actually have people in to cull them or to put manners on them. And that's what people have been asking. But they have to have sort of numbers and proof and that they're just a nuisance rather than that you personally are annoyed, and there has to be
that you personally dislike them. Look, thank you for
talking. It's like this, but I mean, it's caused by us in the first instance. And I mean, but the trouble is, the seagulls are so smart; they didn't go away and die. You know, you have to hand it to them.
Well, you do, I suppose, on one hand. Look, thank you for that this morning, Aina. That is, of course, a wildlife expert and author of many books, Aina Ní Lamhna. Love to know what you think about the seagulls out there this morning in certain parts of the country. They are a problem. They are a problem for litter. They are a problem for people walking around trying to have an ice cream. They are a problem in general. But what do we do about them?
7:31 on News Talk Breakfast. Let's take a look at some of the stories hitting the headlines online and in print this morning. First, to the front page of the Irish Times, where an investigation by the paper has found that former Irish soldiers have allegedly been training rogue General Khalifa Haftar forces in Libya. This is despite a ban on training troops in the country issued by the UN in 2011. Offaly-based group Irish Training Solutions, which was founded by former members of the Defence Forces, are alleged to have carried out the training.
And the Irish Independent today tells us that a phenomenal Galwegian 10-year-old has conquered Mount Kilimanjaro. Coolin Conroy climbed Africa's highest peak last month with his 13-year-old brother Aaron and his father Peter. The Galway family trained for the hike by camping in their back garden and playing GAA.
Finally, to The Guardian, which reports that according to new research, in 500 years, everyone in Japan will have the same surname, Sato-san. This is a result of the country insisting that couples select a single surname. That is it's a mad story. Got us thinking if the same thing happened here. I suppose Murphy's probably the most popular surname. I'd say Kelly's. I'd say Murphy's number one. I'd say Kelly must be up there as well, number two maybe.
I'd say Kelly's are probably in the top 10 anyway.
Oh, definitely. We're well everywhere. Up there.
We're like seagulls, to be honest.
You are. Sure, I'm half Kelly myself.
I knew there was some good in you. I sensed the good in you.
Yeah, we might come back with it. List of Ireland's most
popular surnames.
Let us know.
Don't Google it. Let us know what you think we might be all called in 500 years. What's the most common name here in Ireland?
Still to come on News Talk Breakfast, homeschooling, why it's exploding in popularity.